Hey everyone, welcome to Coffee Time at the Water's Edge. I'm Rodney, and today we have a special guest with us. His name is Kerry Julian. He is the lead pastor and church planter for Pillar Church Norfolk. So let's go ahead, pour that coffee, and dig into the conversation. So, Steve, could you tell us, please, about the coffee that we are drinking?
I will attempt to. This is a local coffee roastery, Fathom Coffee in Virginia Beach. This specific coffee is a single origin from Ethiopia. It's natural Sodomo, Dorato, Bombay, Kantama. I know I've butchered that.
Yeah, if anybody knows how to pronounce it, tell us,
yeah,
please.
It's Ethiopian. It says, elevate your senses with our Ethiopia Natural Sodomo Dorato Bombay, a super high altitude coffee that encapsulates a deeper love for coffee. Grown by 626 dedicated farmers on the lofty slopes of Bombay Mountain in the Sodomo zone, this coffee undergoes meticulous sun drying for 10 to 15 days at the Kunkna Mill. Profile brimming with fruit forward notes of watermelon, pomegranate, and pineapple. It's a celebration of Ethiopia's rich coffee culture. Take your experience to new heights. That's a mouthful, but
you know that if I'm buying the coffee, it's generally going to be Ethiopian coffee. I just love Ethiopian coffee.
All right, let's give it a whirl.
Yes.
Cheers, mates.
I love it.
Is very good coffee.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, definitely better than last week's coffee. The light roast that wasn't quite so light.
I wasn't going to blast it on air like you did, but you were just like immediately like, I don't like it. This is really good.
Yeah, this is
my,
really good
my favorite kind is African coffee.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't know that the higher altitude the coffee is grown, the more fruity notes you get to it because of the acids that build up in the coffee beans.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a higher acidic content, so, yeah. All right, so, Kerry, welcome to Water's Edge, and we're happy to have you here. This is great. If you could, please just tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, I was born in New York to parents who are immigrants to the United States, so I'm a first-generation American. My parents are originally from Haiti. I stayed in New York, I would say, probably like a year and change. But then thereafter, we spent all of our life in Florida.
Okay.
So therefore, I'll tell you I'm a Dolphins fan, right? I'll tell you I'm a Miami Heat fan.
Pastor Adam's a huge Dolphins fan.
There we go. But I grew up in West Palm Beach, Florida, spent most of my life there, and then spent some time in Virginia and then D.C.
Oh, wow. So you enjoyed D.C. then?
Do you want to talk about that? No. DC's a dream place to live, but then you actually experience it and it's like, it's not as exciting as a thing.
Yeah. I mean, cause then you're surrounded by all of the football fans up there and just kind of.
No, not the fans. No. Part of it was, I was there during COVID.
Oh.
So it was one of the best places to be during COVID. Yeah. But also one of the worst places to be during COVID.
Yeah.
You know, true. So that was part of the experience that hindered it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pumped to have Kerry on because Kerry and I met just a few weeks ago, but he kind of been on my radar for a little bit. One of the things that we had shared with our members at one of our previous meetings, thinking about celebrating our 50-year anniversary, kind of casting a vision for our future as a church. Now that we are an established church, that's healthy, that's growing, that there's a lot of really good things happening. We want to focus in the future on sending workers to the field, specifically to fulfill the Great Commission, to plant churches among unreached language groups. And we want to multiply here in the U.S. and abroad in military communities, because one of the challenges that we have, and you're going to realize this real soon, in serving in Virginia Beach is that often as our church grows, it's not uncommon to send multiple families out through the U.S. military, the Navy specifically here, to different parts of the world. And we know that we're going to send them to places like Pensacola, Road to Spain, San Diego, you know, these specific places where there's high concentration of Navy individuals.
Hawaii.
And so planting in military communities, I think, is essential for long-term discipleship among a transient people.
Yeah.
And that's where I learned about Pillar, and then that's how Carrie got on my radar. And so, Carrie, how did you originally learn about Pillar? How did you get in a position where you're planting with them?
Yeah, great question. I'll take you from Florida up to how I got to DC. So I've been in church plants almost all my life, and then I eventually started working part time in a church plant from 2014 to 2018. The Lord started stirring in my heart to think about ministry. I was working full time in sales, and so the Lord used a friend of mine's to connect with me who was at McLean Bible Church. And he was like, hey, man, they have plenty of job opportunities. You should come. So I visited, ended up doing an internship at McLean. And that's where I met a man by the name of Clint Clifton. So Clint was on staff with the church in order to help them form their church planning department, so to speak, where they find guys and fund guys to church plant throughout the D.C. area. And then so I meet him about 10 months into my internship at McLean. And speaking of God's providence, what happened was I was there for a year at McLean, knowing that once I finished my tenure there, it didn't guarantee a job
right
going forward. Well, meet Clint, and he's like, hey, man, tell me a little bit about yourself. And he's like, first of all, he says, I think you could be a church planter. And I was like, I'm just looking for a job, man.
You say that to everybody. Yeah.
I'm not interested in that. And I actually poked a little bit. I was like, why do you say that? Because he didn't know me well at all. And so to progress the story, he ended up helping me get a job after my internship at McLean in a church in DC called Pillar DC.
Okay.
So that was my first exposure to being in a heavily military friendly church. And my wife, that's where I met her as well. So behind the scenes, like I told you, Clint was the church planting pastor. He had helped plant Pillar DC, and they were dwindling. And meanwhile, McLean Bible Church, they had a sixth campus in DC.
Okay.
So Clint, being the church planter that he is, was like, hey, why don't we merge them? And then part of the plan was they had me added on as a staff. And so I was the music leader / administrator, and the church merged under Pillar DC. And then from there, man, I spent 16 months as the music leader / administrator. And I just told myself, you know, I just want to be faithful to this. You know, I didn't like church plants. I was like, I hate setup tear down, still hate setup tear down.
Yeah. I know all about that.
I want to be faithful to this. So I stumbled on Clint's podcast on church planting. And man, I was like, I was just all in. I was like, this is so amazing. I love this. And then the Lord gave me a call out of that. And then from there, I ended up leaving Pillar DC and did a residency at Pillar Dumfries, which was 30 miles away.
Nice. And so Pillar is, as we've learned, part of an initiative titled the Praetorium Project, which is a very specific effort to plant churches in military communities and multiply under the name of Pillar, and usually the cities attached to it, correct?
Right.
Yeah. And so very military friendly, focused on that, like just recognizing that, you know, I think I believe you probably know this better than me, but I think it started initially around a group of Marines. Like they wanted to plant where the Marine bases were, like Lejeune and places they knew that Marines were going to go to. And then once they did that, they're like, oh, there's a lot of Navy people too. So then they started hitting some of the Navy towns. And that's where it got on my radars. I'm like, that's exactly, so I've been in this Navy town for almost 10 years now. And every time we send a family, I feel like I'm starting from scratch of trying to find a church to help them plug into and just wanting, you know, that sort of family, that sort of network of churches where we could say, hey, here's a great church that's going to be similar to Water's Edge in our culture, our DNA, our teaching, these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Every church is a little bit different, but you know what I mean? There's similar values, similar structure, et cetera. So I was really pumped to hear, to learn that this even existed, because I thought this was like an idea in my own head. And I'm like, there's people that are doing this stuff already.
Yes.
And pretty far into it. How many Pillar churches are there? Do you know?
Yeah, there are 13. So I'll speak to the history a little bit. So Clint, he started Pillar Dumfries. The Lord had him do that in 2004. He had a pastoral partner with him named Nathan. Nathan Hendricks. So the both of them, they started the church with the aim of starting a new church out of Pillar Dumfries once a year, which is a wildly
aggressive.
Well, not too long into it, the Lord showed Clint, because Pillar Dumfries is near Quantico, Virginia, where the Marine base is. And so the Lord just tweaked their line of thought to think about the Marines. Now, in the Marines, they have a very specific route tree they follow, going from in the U.S. all the way outside of the U.S.
Right.
And so then the vision shifted towards, hey, what about us planting a church near all the military installations, which will then create long-term discipleship for these highly transient people? Well, fast forward 11 years, and that's what happened. There's a Pillar church. They started this initiative, I believe, in 2011, started planting churches near these military installations. And what's happened out of that, one of the stories I like to share often is someone like Brian O'Day. Brian O'Day is currently the executive director for the Praetorian Project. Well, the story behind him is he just came in for 10 months at Pillar Dumfries. And Clint, being the kind of guy that he is, he's like, the Lord just laid on his heart, hey, you know,
there's
talk
to
this
here.
Guy.
Yeah, there's something yeah. here. Yeah.
So sure enough, starts teaching Brian O'Day how to preach. Simultaneously, Brian O'Day is about to retire from the military. Well, within that 10 months, he goes from I'm going to retire to the military to I'll be a church planner. And so he planted Pillar Jacksonville. And fast forward now, the church has been alive 10 years now, thriving, doing well. And that church has planted, I would say, 3 churches out of it within that 10-year time span. So the aim was to reach the Marines, and that's happened. And so in a sense, the next phase would be to reach the Navy. But as you guys know, the Navy's different because you have land, sea, air. They're stationed right. in different places for different lengths of time. But the Lord had me raise my hand to say, yeah, sure, we'll help reach the Navy.
Yeah. So interesting story. One of the ways that it got on my radar was I was in my military capacity on orders at a chaplain conference out at NORTHCOM, NORAD, in Colorado Springs. And I was presenting on the mission of my unit to a number of kind of key players in the DISCO world. That's Defense Support of Civil Authorities. There was a number of chaplains there. And one of the chaplains approached me afterwards and was asking me about the church, because I'd said, you know, I'm a reservist, et cetera. And he was telling me he's part of this church plant down in San Antonio, which was called Pillar Church San Antonio, which had just launched at the time of this conference. And then so through that introduces me to a guy named Jared Huntley, who has planted multiple churches, big part of Pillar. I think he was at Dumfries at one point, or was at one of the, maybe the DC church. And Jared is dual-hatted in the sense that he's planted this church in Texas, but he's also the director for SEND Military, which is part of the North American Mission Board. And so his initiative and his heart behind that is through the Praetorian Project and other like-minded churches to continue to expand that within the Pillar family and the Praetorian Project and even beyond that. And so it's a beautiful vision, particularly for military folks that struggle with community because they are so transient.
Yeah. Now, you do have a planting partner, correct?
Yeah, yes. My planting partner is Jonathan Rivera. He is in the military. He's been in 24 years. 20 of those years have been right here in the Hampton Roads area. He's currently a CMC in the military, which translates to meaning he's an E9. Yep. He loves being around the military folks. That's what he would say to himself. And then he's married with 5 kids.
Wow.
Hey, you got children's ministry already going,
I mean,
brother.
And sound tech. I mean, we got it all covered. I mean, come on.
I love that. Well, in meeting you, like you were telling me a little bit more of your personal story. You know, we had coffee not so long ago. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I noted was like how the Lord has uniquely prepared you for church planting because of a little bit of the business side that you had studied, a little bit of the music, a little bit of the teaching and preaching. Mm-hmm. Counseling was an area of focus. So I'm like, all of these things that could really come in handy for someone who's initially kind of not going at it alone, but like not a large staff, like not you have limited resources, yeah, yes, like starting out at like every church plant. Yeah. Man, it's really cool how the Lord's prepped you and prepared you, and Jonathan's partnering with you and his family. What are you guys doing right now? Like, what are the steps? So this is really one of the reasons we wanted to have you on was to, you know, if there's someone out there that's thought about church planting, there's a lot that goes into it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, on one hand, some people will say, well, all this stuff is unnecessary. You can just start a house church and let it grow out of that. But you're in a part of a very deliberate, thoughtful process that goes into launching your first public services. Mm-hmm. Come Easter time, I believe, is your target.
Yes.
So take us through that, like your preparation, like the steps to doing that.
Yeah. Great question. So I'll fill the gap of my story in answering that question, because I talked about living in DC, then I talked about going to Pillar Dumfries, and I said specifically for the residency. So that was 2021. I started the residency at Pillar Dumfries. So I was on staff simultaneously doing the residency in order to prepare to plant the church. So when I first got to Pillar Dumfries, they gave me three questions to answer, which was, where do you want to start a church? What's the name of the church? And who do you want to do it with, as in a pastoral partner? Well, I hadn't been thinking anything of those questions. And so by the time I got to Pillar Dumfries, I was married. My wife's name is Erin. We affectionately go by Karen if someone has trouble remembering our names. We had one child at a time. His name is Micah. And then by the time we got to Pillar Dumfries, my wife was pregnant and we had our second. So we're there 21 months. We have our second child. I'm about 9 months into being on staff at the church. And once we have our baby, which is, her name is Keziah, I'm like, we need to go on go mode. like now I can, now that trying to find some normalcy in our schedule. Yeah. So to answer those three questions, it was like, who are we going to plant with? Well, I went through asking about four different guys. Big ask, you know, like, for example, one of them way out of state in Washington. I'm like, hey, I know you're a godly guy. We have a good relationship. Do you want to help plant this church? Went through four no's to finally find the yes, because I was like, man, God can do it, right? And then as far as the city, that was one of my most often prayers, because...
Had you ever heard of Norfolk at the time?
I had visited like a year before around the area, and I was like, man, this is a really nice area, because it's really similar to West Palm Beach, because West Palm Beach, I grew up 20 minutes from the beach. So I was like, man, this is kind of similar, but I didn't know anything about Norfolk prior. Mm-hmm. As far as Norfolk, I just had a completely blank sheet of paper before the Lord, because I was like, I don't want to base it off of like house prices or weather or a NFL football team. I was like, man, God has to tell us where to go. So I spent time praying. My wife spent time praying. And then eventually he made it clear, all right, go to Norfolk. I was like, okay, great. Thank you, Lord. Norfolk. And then was the name of the church. I'll tell you guys a funny story. I had fell in love with Matthew 11:12, which says, since the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. So I fell in love with it, and I still love it, in the sense that it, in essence, all it's saying is that God's kingdom is not only advancing, but nothing's going to stop it. So I was like, man, that verse is so good. What if we call the church Force Church?
I thought you were going to say violent.
So while I was at the church, Force I remember church. we had a game night, and I had told Clint, and he was like, horrible. Don't do it. And we had a game night where all the young adults came over to our house, and I was like, let's sample size it, you know? So I'm like, hey guys, like, what do y'all think? You know, I did the verse, explained, said the name, and they're like, yeah, no, the first thing I think about is Star Wars. So I was like, yeah. And if you Google it, if you Google Force Church, it's not a church, but like there's a movement that's tied to Star Wars. So I was like, yeah, that's just not gonna work. So so funny story, but anyway, man, I came at that open-handed as well, because like I, even though I've been around church plants all my life, I never thought about planting a church. And so man, the Lord had it that it's just, we're just continuing the legacy that the Lord started with Clint. And so that's where the name comes, Pillar Church of Norfolk. Norfolk has the largest naval base in the world, also has the headquarters for NATO, right?
Yep.
Not to mention most people that retire out of the military, when they're done, they stay in Norfolk. So the Lord just started uncovering all these things as we went along in the process. But that answers those three big questions that we had to answer. I would say to go a depth deeper from like those three big questions I asked, like some of the things that I had to do was like focus on fundraising and trying to recruit people to be a part of the team, slash thinking through infrastructure, meaning like setting up a bank account, getting an EIN number, things of along those nature. Now, we're part of the Southern Baptist Convention. So the Southern Baptist Convention, they do a tremendous job of helping streamline the process for a planner in big milestones that would be very difficult otherwise. But anyway, so some of that was going on behind the scenes as well in order to say, hey, we're going to be ready to leave and start a church.
Yeah. So you moved here when, like a few months ago?
Yeah. A few months ago. So we've been here since July 22nd, 2023, which based on this recording, this week will make 4 months of us being here in the city. And I can answer that question a little bit more thorough too, of just, what does it take to start a church once you're in the city? Mm-hmm. Right. So we came here, and I love the way Vance Pittman phrases it. He says, first you need to engage the city and then make disciples and then start a church. So as far as engaging the city, we knew we're trying to reach the military. So stop one was a big outreach for us, considering we're so small, mm-hmm. which was a parent sign out. So we gave families $50 gift cards. Simultaneously, we watched their kids for 2 hours. This was just August 23. And we did that knowing one of the biggest issues for military is childcare, you know? And sure enough, like the families that did show up, that's exactly what they were saying. And so it was one of those like just unique euphoric moments where it's like, man, like to hear someone say like, yeah, like we've been married, but like we this is our first time doing this. It's like, man, you know, it felt like such a special ministry effort to see. And that's something I saw at my sending church. They've done it a couple times. Not to mention, praise God for my sending church, which is Pillar Church of the Dumfries. They came out to help. That's how it all happened.
Yeah.
We had $25 volunteers from their side, which helped to happen. So talk about engage the city, right? Another way in which we're engaging the city is through our Bible study. So we've been doing a weekly Bible study, and we're actually going through the 12 traits of a biblical church right now. But the aim is like, you know, no matter who you are, where you're from, like this is a place to get to know us, and we get to know you. And so then the next step out of that is in the Bible study, starting to learn people, get to know them, and then seeing where they could sit in the bus, so to speak. Does somebody have leadership capacity or potential? If so, how much? Not to mention just some of the other behind the scenes you have to think of as far as church planning. So we're at a place where we're like, hey, we've identified some servant leaders, and these servant leaders, we're on the same page in the sense that we think they're committed to us and they think they're committed to us. Two different things, yeah. Right? Yeah. It's kind of like dating, right? You're like, yeah, that's my girlfriend. And she's like, I don't know that guy. You know, you don't want to be there. So anyway, we're at that place where it's like, hey, there's that mutual agreement and that, hey, we care about this together. We want to see this church up and running. And so one of the we're going to be doing some equipping. You know, what does that look like to do a kids ministry? What does it look like for us to be focused on doing outreach together? And then practicing what we're doing. So late January 2024, Lord willing, through March, we want to start practicing, like, man, what does it look like for us to do kids ministry on a Sunday morning? What does it look like to do a music rehearsal, things of those nature? And then Lord willing to launch March.
Yeah.
Are there like specific markers? I know, so there's different, obviously different strategies for how people go about this. Is there like a target number for like a core team or launch team, or people use different terminology, but before you go public, so to speak?
Yeah.
Or is that something that you're just sort of targeting, you know, Easter, and that's going to be whatever you have then, you're ready to go?
Yeah, that's a good question. Clint, who is, he's a Yoda in church planning. I mean, he lives, eats, breathes it.
I'm seeing a theme, the Force Church, Yoda.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Hey,
and it's funny, I'm teasing you.
Yeah.
But Clint, he suggests having a core team of 24 to 35 adults. And when I say core team, I mean people who are, you could break that into two groups. You have a group that's at least can be committed to helping for a year, doing some of the volunteering, the outreach, things of that nature. But then you also have another group that's, there's like, hey, we're here for the foreseeable future, pending a deployment, or the government says I have to leave or something along those lines. So if you have that base, then you're ready to go.
Be viable.
I would like to highlight something that you said. You said something about, you know, military families not having childcare.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that. So if you're from another church out there listening, if you have military families in your church, they don't have normally any extended family members around mm-hmm. to help out with those things that other people may not think about, you know, so that's something that we need to think about with military families, is that support that they may need.
Yeah, very practical way. I think that's great that you guys
awesome.
Did that. Yeah, I love that. I love that you're thinking intentionally about that target. Not that your church is only for military families, but it's going to be very, very military friendly, mm-hmm. which is certainly what we strive to be at Water's Edge. It's so important in this community, for sure.
Yeah, I just thought that was awesome what you guys did. Thank you.
thank you. The parents' night out was awesome. I you know, recommend it for all churches, you know, because like, especially like, for example, a church that's established in a city, you know, if you just tell people, hey, we'll watch your kids for 2 hours, like that'll get them to come. Whereas we're a church plant. So they're like, I never heard of you. What is this? Is this real? You know what I mean? We were in that place. One of the things that I think about too, is just as far as our DNA, one of the ways I would describe it is we want to be a heavily friendly military church, but we also want to be a church planting church. Similar to you guys. And I would love to just tease some of that out with you guys, of like some of the why behind the what. I think about church planning, and one of the things that excites me the most about it, particularly with the Praetorian Project, is the leadership development opportunities that stem from it. So you look at if you look at the churches, the current established churches, if you go to praetorianproject.com and you look at the established churches, and then you look at the future church plants, you'll see like a stem, a line. So for instance, the person planting Pillar Church of Crestview, he was a elder at Pillar Dumfries for 10 years, and the Lord was stirring on his heart to plant. And so, man, he was working behind the scenes for a couple of years, and now you see the fruition of it now. That pipeline where you see leaders develop, you know, women as well, women learning how to teach in a public setting so they can lead a women's ministry, things along those lines. That really, really excites me when I think about church multiplication.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, different views on, you know, as your church grows, if it's an established church, at some point you have to make some critical decisions if your church is healthy and growing. And that's kind of where this comes from for us. Like, this church has never officially planted another church. And that's something that we've been talking about recently in light of, you know, our growth and the fact that we're at capacity in our building and we don't want to do multiple services. We would rather see another church be planted. We would rather increase our capacity to whatever we can to maximize, as good stewards, you know, the resources that we already have. We have helped church plants. We helped a Korean church plant. We helped a Spanish church plant. We helped a church down in Florida, but we've never just trained up. We don't have a church planting residency. And so these are the things that I'm learning and just humbly, like, being very inspired by a lot of this stuff. And so that's kind of where it's coming from us, is like, we don't want to, you know, go into how much millions of dollars of debt to build the monster. If the Lord continues to grow this church, we would rather multiply. And, you know, going through the book of Acts, we're seeing how the church expanded through church plants in different cities that were right next to each other, you know. And one of the objections people often get, I mentioned this to you before this, is when people hear this, yeah, you should focus on the unreached language groups. We want to do that. Like, we are doing that.
We are doing that.
Very much. Is that, well, in the States, there's a church on nearly every corner, right? You look at all of the churches in Virginia Beach, look at all the churches in Norfolk already. And so have you heard that objection? Has that been anything that's kind of come to you, like, well, you know, we already have the gospel here. Why wouldn't you go to, you know, a place where they don't have the gospel or a church?
Yeah.
How do you respond to that? Or
I haven't heard a lot of people say that to me as a reason to not plant the church. But interestingly enough, if you were to Google how many churches are in Norfolk, it would tell you 697, which you read further and it means Norfolk has the most churches in the city out of any other city in the U.S. Now you go a rung lower and you ask yourself, well, who are in these churches? How long have these churches been alive? Statistically speaking, at the 17-year mark, churches plateau and then can eventually decline. All that to say, when you think of it in terms of those two things mentioned earlier, just because we see a lot of churches doesn't mean there's much actual activity going on within those churches. And which, not to mention, I like to compare churches to people. Mm-hmm. You know, like, typically you see a man and a woman get married, they have a child, right? And you see the same thing play out in Acts, with a church where a church births another church. Now, it could be persecution related or whatever the matter is, but you see that God loves multiplication, you know, and you can stem that back all the way to Genesis. So then you think about that. And for us in the U.S., even though there's a lot of church buildings, there's still plenty of room for church planting. Not to mention, one of the benefits of church planting is once you put a church plant next to an established church, it actually gets the established church on their heels. Because sometimes, like I said, the church can plateau. And so the church plant gets the established church on the heels, like, man, look at what they're doing.
Light a little fire under them.
Yeah, there's not even that many of them. Yeah. We could do that, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, and then not to mention, let's, you know, think about it generationally speaking. You know, a church can get to a certain age, holistically speaking, and how are you going to reach that younger generation? You know, God often uses that Joshua, so to speak. You have Moses, and then, you know, God uses Joshua to lead the next generation of Israelites. So God, yeah, often does that. So I'm all for church planting.
Yeah, I've seen some statistics I wanted to share.
Yeah.
One of them, the conclusion of it was that the single most effective evangelistic method under heaven is planting new churches. Mm. Because there is something new, there's something exciting, and they tend to be very outward focused, like you said, engaging the city, where other churches kind of become complacent, potentially, or just inward focused. And so it is the most effective way to reach unbelievers is through the planting of new churches in areas. But statistically, even though it seems like there are churches everywhere, it's not keeping up with the population and or with the amount of churches that are closing every year. Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting to see, like, the data on COVID of how many churches ended up closing as a result of, you know, 2020, 2021. My sense is it's pretty astronomical. Mm-hmm. And yet, listen to this. I don't know in 1900, there was one church for every 357 people. One church for every 357 people. In 2004, that's the latest data on this that I see, one church for every 909 people. And just think, like, yeah, there's a lot, there might be 600 churches, but how many thousands of people are in Norfolk? Virginia Beach alone is 450,000 people. Mm-hmm. And so you have, it's just not keeping up with the population. And is there even enough seats in all of these churches to accommodate that many people? In theory, if everybody in Norfolk decides to wake up one morning and go to church, is there enough seats? Chances are there's not, right? There's clearly not, and clearly not in Virginia Beach. And so that's kind of the point, is like, it is needed despite what people think. Well, wouldn't they go to this church or go to this church? I'm like, no, you know, we have to be advancing the kingdom, and this is one of the most effective ways to do that. And as churches get bigger, things get trickier too. And then you create sort of a bottleneck in leadership development, unless you're focusing on planting other churches and raising up elders and doing all the things, because there's only so many, you know, elders in a church or preachers in a church or music leaders in a church. And so you're helping other people develop their gifts by creating more opportunities and things like that as well. Yeah. There's so much to it, but yeah, I commend you. I'm excited for you guys look forward to just our friendship and connecting with you guys. There's two things I'd like you to do before we wrap up. One is maybe give a shout out to Cliff's podcast. You mentioned his podcast. Is that an ongoing thing, or is that just a couple episodes? Does he have one specifically that focuses on this?
Yeah.
Not to put you on the spot, but do you know the name of it?
Yeah, no, I do know the name of it. It's called the Church Planning Podcast. To fill in the gap about Clint, he actually passed January 2023.
That's how Brian took the executive role, correct? Brian
no, he O'Day. Had it well before that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He had it well before that. Brian O'Day, you're talking about. Yeah, so Clint passed, and he had just gotten a recent promotion with NAMM, where he was actually overseeing all their content development, which went right into the lane of his podcast. So in essence, he would be doing the same thing on his podcast for NAMM. And so he hadn't been making as many podcasts. However, though, like
there's still a volume that exists out there.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Like 2-3 years. I mean, he's interviewing people from like David Platt, Brian Laritz, like just a very diverse array of guys. I think about Doug Logan, who is actually the president of Grimke University. He's interviewed like all kinds of guys and got all kinds of insight on church planning. So that would, it's well worth its salt. Not to mention, he's written a couple books. One of them is called Church Planning Thresholds. And that's actually, I think it's the number one selling book nationally, actually internationally, on church planning. So I kept saying the Yoda thing, and that's some of the reasons why.
No, that's exciting. I said that about him. The second thing would be, if someone listening to this lives in the area, they're looking for a church, or they're wanting to be a part of a church plant, how do they partner with you right now? How can they connect?
Yeah, great question. One of the ways is through our Bible study. That we're also going to be doing an interest meeting January 2024. So that's where we're going to blast that online. And that's just one of the ways to come and hear about the church and just get to meet myself, get to meet Jonathan. I would say the bread and butter is coming to a Bible study, because we do potluck style. So, hey, you get a dinner.
There you go.
You get some dinner in it.
I said, Steve, I'm gone.
If you feed them, they will come.
Yeah. You get fed spiritually and physically. You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. And then other than that, man, I want to give a little shout out to First Norfolk. That's where I currently attend right now on Sundays. Mm-hmm. Great church. You can meet me there. Jonathan attends River Oak right now. Great church as well. So those are just ways to connect with us. And then, of course, there's social media. So if you go to our website, pillarnorfolk.com, you'll see our Facebook, our Instagram, ways to connect with us there, and as well as our church phone number, email address, as ways to just like, hey, if you want to spark some conversation.
Yeah. I love that.
Connect with us that way.
I love that. You got anything else?
Well, I guess I'm going to have to start sharing you guys on Instagram, because I'm... because I think I am following you guys already on Instagram.
Okay.
So
nice.
All right. Do you have anything else before we tune out?
I feel good.
You feel good?
It's good stuff.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, no, it's
you're
cool.
Welcome.
Yeah, appreciate really you cool. sharing. Hope it stirs some people up.
All right. So if you guys are out there listening, make sure you like, subscribe, and click that bell so you know when we put out new material. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. 5 stars. 5 stars.
There you go.
Hit him with the 5.
That's right. We love you all, and God bless.
Peace out.